to the Rico No Suave show. We are bringing you a fun-filled show tonight with a great guest. So get ready, mi gente. Now, here is your talk show host.
It's your boy Rico No Suave, man. Welcome back to the show. I am super happy to be here with each and every one of you guys because the show keeps going on and we keep going and we keep going and we keep going, everybody. So welcome. Bienvenido a todos, mi gente. Ya tú sabes. Este miércoles. Yeah, you already know. I'm ready, man. I am super ready. I'm super hyped like always. And, you know, because it is Wednesday, because the sun is shining, and it's always bright on this side. No matter if there's darkness, it's always sunshine on this side. All right, everybody, you know what? We got a fun-filled packed show for you guys, but it's story time. It's story time. Real quick, happy July 4th. If you guys enjoyed yourself July 4th, let me just tell you real quick. These things that, you know, that they come out with these cakes and they're blowing up and going crazy all up in the air is just like, you know, I wish I had back in the day. You know, I went back to firecrackers. Sparklers. And one thing is that when you go back to firecrackers, my nephews was like, Rico, you still doing that? And I was like, yeah, I still do that. I got some Roman candles too. You know what I mean? And it was like, oh, okay, let me show you what we got. And I said, let me put this away and just watch what y'all got. So I had a great time, man, with my firecrackers. Had the black cats. They had something. Also had what it looked like there's a donkey on it and something like that. It was like kick whatever. And I won't say it here, but it was good. It was good. I had a good time. So nephews, thank you for allowing me to have a great time with my firecrackers, Roman candles, and whatever I had on there as well too. But, you know, thank you to Crazy Kaplan as well too for letting me buy them. All right, everybody, we got to get it on. I got to introduce my guy. I tell you, when it's iconic, when I tell you it's iconic, all I have to do is just show you what the talent is all about, and you'll believe me when you see his talent. Everybody, we're going to show a quick video clip because we got to be able to introduce him right. Everybody, watch this video. Let's go.
I'm saying, be big. Be happy who you are. Because that's what sexy ladies, confidence in a woman. When you confident, that's what really attract the man right there. Sure your body. For real. That's what you do, man. For real. And I'm telling you something, man. It's warm outside. Summertime coming up, man. Forget what everybody said. Wear the little halter tops. Let them stomachs out. I love stomachs. Yeah, damn it. Fuck that. I love stomachs. That's why I said stomachs, plural. Two on one woman. I love that. Yeah. Because it's all about how you carry it, you know what I'm saying? I fell in love with this girl last summer. She wore her stomach out every day. Walking down my block, just walking out. And she's like, she has swagger, though. You know, it's like a little style she had with her stomach. Just plow, plow. Damn. You know what it looked like? It looked like she tucked her stomach in and bloused it out a little bit. I was like, dang! I gave her the Lenny and Squeaky bite line. You just gonna blouse your stomach out? I'm gonna blouse this motherfucker out. I said, girl, you look like a beautiful muffin. It's a tasty treat on my street.
Be cold. It's in the house. What's up, Vico? How you doing, man?
Rico, no slob. What up, brother?
Man, I am good, man.
I love your energy, man.
Thank you, man.
You've been smiling since I've been here, man. This brother is happy. Happy.
Let's go, man. Let's go. Hey, I'm always happy, man. And I love it, man. And everybody out there, if you can actually hear me good, make sure you're able to hear me good. And make sure you comment, because B. Cole is in the house, man. He's in my house now, man. He's in my house.
Nice house it is, too, brother.
Thank you, man. I love it, man. I appreciate you.
Where Uncle Phil at, man? Well, Carlton, coming down the stairs. Nice house. I feel like the Fresh Prince. I'm in there. It's beautiful. Y'all got to see it.
I got to get that Carlton going on. You know what I mean? I got to get that Carlton going on. But, man, welcome to the show, man. It's so great to actually have you here. One, like I said, you're one of my famous iconic comedians in Chicago. And once again, it's just – I'm probably going to just be like, man, a fan like always. But I'm so happy you're here, man.
Man,
so,
thank you for having me, man. Really.
Let's get it on, man. Let's get it on. All right.
Yeah, I know we've been trying to make this happen, and we finally got it.
Yes.
Got it to happen. It's good. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Let's go. You ready?
I'm ready, bro.
Let's get it on. All right. So because Be Cold is a time where things start, right? And there's always great influences along the path to be able to say, you know what? This is me. This is who I want to be as Be Cold. But at the same time, too, I want to make sure that I'm able to follow the footsteps of my own style. Mm-hmm. But becoming a comedian is not easy. What were your influences in regards to who were your influences coming up in order for you to take that step?
Well, I mean, I've been influenced to find my sense of humor with, like, of course, like Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, listening to the records at home in the basement.
Yeah.
And all. But the man who made me want to get on stage and grab that microphone, dude.
Yeah.
Damon Wayans.
Oh,
from
wow.
The Wayans family.
Yes, sir.
And this was before Damon was even on The Living Color. And I think it was like shortly after he did Robert Townsend, Partners in Crime.
Okay.
So, you know, he only did a short set on that show, like 5 minute set. And you still didn't know this man's name. And they gave him an HBO 30-minute special.
Okay.
And he had a 30-minute special. And this is still before In Living Color. So you see he doing all his characters that he took on The Living Color right here on the stage.
Yeah.
And, man, it was a friend of mine. We were sitting down watching it, man. And I'm like 18 years old, bro. And as we're watching it, my boy, man, my boy June. June's like, hey, man, B, he reminds me of you.
Wow.
And when he said that, I said, then that's what I'm going to do.
Wow.
So from that point, my whole goal was to be a stand-up comedian. And, like, Damon Wayans is basically, like, my sensei.
Mm.
I studied, I watched him. And it was just, like, I connected with him. Out of all the comedians, I connected with him on style, stuff like that.
I see.
And, man, it's just crazy because come to find out, you know, me and his birthday on the same day.
No way.
September 4th.
Let's
man.
Go.
Yeah, we share the same birthday with Beyonce.
Let's go. So
me, Beyonce, and Damon Wayans got the same birthday.
Okay.
So I knew it was some sort of connection.
Yeah.
But like I said, when I started doing comedy at 19 years old, the magnitude was so huge for urban comedy back then. Because, like, Comic View just debuted.
Yeah.
Def Comedy Jam. So they were looking for up-and-coming comedians. So I was able to jump on that train quickly.
Okay.
When Comic View came to Chicago looking for young comedians, so they saw me. So I was on TV within that first year.
Wow.
Of doing stand-up. And then that gave me a lot of exposure. Then when I finally met Damon Wayans, I met Damon Wayans maybe a couple of years after that. He knew who I was from Comic View.
Okay.
Like, I didn't know he watched it. And he's like, yeah, he's like, I know you, man. He's like, man, I watch you all the time.
I'm
like, wow. And he wouldn't believe me when I told him. I said, man, you know, you my mentor. You know, you want to influence me to do it. You inspired me, man. He's just like, man, go on, head on. And he kept saying, he kept brushing it off.
Oh,
but,
man.
It was an honor to get that from my sensei.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And then, like I said, us sharing the same birthday, the whole nine, everything. I'm like, man, there it is. There was the connection right there.
That's love. Yeah. And it's cool because you never know who's watching, right? And I think because an iconic guy like that just keeps you on the floor laughing, like, it's amazing how when you come and see the people that influence you in person. Did you get a chance to, like, speak with him or talk to him in regards to, like, tips or things that, you know, to be able to help you grow within the comedy industry?
No, because it was like kind of a short conversation because it was actually he had a book signing.
Oh,
he
I
had
see.
A book called, I think it's called Bootleg or something like that. And he had a book signing at Evergreen Plaza.
Wow.
And one of my homies called me, man. He's like, hey, man, you know your guys at Evergreen Plaza, man, doing a book signing. So we rushed up there, man. And like I said, I got to meet him, like, right before he went to sit down to do his book signing.
Yeah.
Me and him ran into each other. I was in his path on his way to the table to go sign books.
Okay.
So we had that conversation right there.
I see.
You know, and it was just the whole night. He's like, man, I know you, man. And he's asking, man, any shows going on in town tonight? He's trying to hit a microphone, stuff like that, the whole night. So it was real short.
Okay.
And everything. Then I met him a second time He performed at the Park West Theater. I went to go see him at the Park West Theater.
Okay.
And got to talk to him behind stage and all that. But when there's so much going on, you really don't have that one-on-one conversation to get in depth like that.
I see. Yeah. That's cool, man. Congratulations on that, man. Cool. I really like that, man. Yeah. I love the fact that you were able to see him twice. Right.
Yeah, yeah. And keep going Absolutely. And I don't even think he know our birthday on the same day either. You know? But every interview I do, I always, because I get this question all the time, so I always let people know that, yes, Damon Wayans is the one who inspired me to be a stand-up comedian.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That's awesome, man. Hey, everybody, you already know my man, B. Cole's in the house, comedian, producer, man. We keeping it going. You know, because, B. Cole, you have one of my favorite poems.
Okay.
That was to your ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
That was on Comic View.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget it.
Okay.
That always, when I had to replay it because it was so short.
It was very short.
It was very short. And it was that one word.
That one word. The B.
B, exactly. Yeah. And when and I will always tell my audience, listen, when a comedian has a certain connection to the audience by having that one word and the face expressions afterwards, it keeps you, it sticks in your head. And I'm like, man, I love this guy. Man, I told myself, because I was living in Oak Park during that time.
Okay.
And when I was living in Oak Park, I was like, I had the VHS tape, but also there was kind of like reruns as well too. That was for Comic View.
Oh yeah.
Right. And you came up on there. I'm like, hey, check it out, check it out. You got to listen to this. And as soon as it came, to be able to have that, what we call the niche, right? You had that niche. When did you, or how do you discover, how did you discover your niche as a comedian? Because not every comedian is built the same, right? And you have your own niche. You have your own style. You had to be able to know that you had a different style than from the greats, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So how did you come up with your own niche?
Yeah, simply because when I started, the open mics that I was doing, man, it was legendary because I shared the open mic stage. We were all amateurs at the time, like Damon Williams, Deion Cole, Corey Holcomb, you know, like cats like that. And we was like gladiators, man. We was just going at it. And we always tried to top each other too. But we was all cool, but we just like, we wanted to impress each other with our jokes and, and our writing skills and stuff like that.
Sure.
So my thing was just always, wanted to just, I would consider my style box cutter comedy.
Okay.
Because you can't keep me in the box. So my jokes are going to cut me out the box I'm out of it. Because like doing comedy, I started in 1991. So I've been through all the eras of life during that time. Like even like when doing the OJ trial, you know, we were doing comedy at that time, and we had an open mic, and every comedian, if it's 10 comedians, everybody got an O.J. Simpson joke.
Yeah.
I'd be the only one without one.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because I want to stand out.
Yes, sir.
And not be, you know, just blend in with another O.J. joke and stuff like that. So I just made sure I just was different and just been myself.
Yeah.
That's all. And that's the whole thing, just being yourself.
Yeah.
And no one can copy the original. You know, you stay original, and man, that's my niche, you know. Yeah.
I love that, man. I love it. I love it to the fact of being able to make sure that when people see you, you go through different audiences as well too.
All the time.
Different audiences understands your niche when they see your face coming on that stage. So you have a unique style that people love, right? That niche. Like me. Like I said, like since I'm a fan as well too, this is good. Let's get to the next one. Now, you already talked about you came an icon to me in Proud Chicago and I saw you on Comic View. We talked about that. When it's time for B. Cole doing this process of being able to come onto a stage where it could be 1,000 people, it could be 5,000 people, it can be 50 people based off of the where you're going. What was that? What is your preparation to be able to pump yourself up to get on that stage and knowing you're about to rock it?
Man, well, you know, I still stay nervous to this day before I go on. But them nerves turn into you know, like once you get that first joke off,
yes.
then you're like, okay, cool, I got them, you know, because you always have to introduce yourself to the crowd.
Yes, sir.
And the crowd has to feel you. So it's like a nice, warm, welcoming introduction. So, because some comedians just go out there and just straight start doing their material and the audience don't even know who they are. Like, who are you? You know, like, what's going on? You know? So sometimes you got to greet the crowd with like, hey, how you doing? And, yeah. you know, and just tell a little bit about yourself. Sure. So with that, I always adapt to different audiences, man. So you got to know your crowd. So I feel the energy. And energy is real in the room. So once you get out there, you feel that energy. And I've come to master of how to tell jokes and make people laugh of all different demographics. You know what I'm saying? Yes. From 8 to 80, you know?
Yes.
I've done events where family reunions or retirement parties, and it's like, you know, kids to, you know, elderly people, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I got everybody laughing across the board.
That's beautiful.
But it's just, you know, sometimes, you know, you got a talent and you got your work, but sometimes you don't know how it works.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know what you don't know what it is. You just do what you got.
Yeah.
You know, you just use what you have.
Yeah.
And like I said, I can't really explain it, but you're like, I just get up there and I don't want to fail.
Yes.
You know, so I think the fear of having a bad show makes you do so well, because I had one bad show early in my career, and I ended up quitting for 3 months because I was like, man, this ain't me. It was my first bomb, but it was my first year doing comedy too.
Okay.
You know? So like the first 6 months I'm doing great. And I started right at the South Shore Culture Center in 1991 on Black Friday.
Wow.
And they had a comedy showcase there called the Studio.
Okay.
Big ups to Don Harper. Don Harper was the host. And, I was only 19 years old, man. I was going there and performing and stuff like that. But I was there for like 6 months straight every Friday, faithfully. So I've gained the love there, and everybody loved me there. But Don told me, he said, look, man, you know, you got to spread out, because you come here all the time. They love you, but spread out.
Yeah.
And I really didn't want to leave, because I was like, man, so much love here. You know?
Right.
But he's like, man, go see a friend of mine. And that's when he mentioned Bernie Mac. He's like, you know Bernie Mac?
I'm
like, no, I don't know Bernie, you know. And he's like, go see him. I'm going to call him. Go to the Cotton Club. And go.
Yes, sir.
So, man, I went to go see Bernie, man, like that Monday. Because the show I did was on Friday. Then that Monday, just a couple of days later, go see Bernie. So I went to go see Bernie. And Bernie put me up, man, but that was my first bomb, you know, because it was a different environment, different crowd. You know, Bernie got the band, Bernie got the suit, Bernie got the whole, you know what I'm saying? It's a whole different audience, you know, just like, wow, everybody jazzy, stuff like that. It was real dope.
Yeah.
And, man, I choked. And then I ended up just leaving right off the stage, because the stage is right by the door.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got off, I walked right out. I got in my car, drove home, crying, man. I'm crying because I'm thinking, like, man, I think my dream is over, you know?
Yeah.
Then, like, you know, when it rains, it pours, because I got pulled over by the police that night.
Oh, man.
Just teary-eyed, and then they got the light in my face. Man, what's wrong with you, man? I was like, man, nothing. I ended up quitting for 3 months, and then I came back. When I came back, I never stopped.
Yes,
I never stopped. I came back in 1992, and that's when I went to All Jokes Aside and started doing their open mics there. And Adele Givens, she was the host for that.
Oh, wow.
And All Jokes Aside, that's where I met Damon Williams and my whole crew, man.
Yeah. You know,
Dion and all them guys.
Yeah. The comedy industry is, I say it's one of the most unique way of actually being together without trying to have competition with each other. You have competition, but then you don't have competition, because you're there to make sure that everybody have a great time, right? And I think being able to be able to have that, like athletes, right? Athletes are, hey, we're friends, but when I get on that field, it's on.
You got to bring it.
You got to bring it. It's kind of like the stage as well, too. Mm-hmm. But it's your image. Right, it's your image in regards to who B. Cole is, and that's one of the beautiful things I love about comedy. You know, I'm gonna be honest with you. I've never actually been to a comedy show, like a big comedy show, where I'm used to watching it on TV.
Okay,
and that's my comedy, right? That's like I got front row seat to my comedian.
Yeah.
But at the same time, too, to be able to support comedians as well, too, to be able to buy that ticket to go in there and support them as well. I might do that once in a while, it's pretty cool.
It's an experience everybody should have.
Yeah.
To hit a live show. I love when people tell me I was their first live comedy show.
That's hot. Because
one thing people never forget is their first comedian they ever saw.
Come on, man.
You know, so I love hearing, especially because this is 35 years now for me.
That's
so
awesome, man.
Starting at 19 years old, and now I'm in my 50s now.
Okay.
So I've performed on many stages, man, but I had a lot of generations under me who's come and it's been their first time. Now that they're 21, they can get in the club,
yes,
and stuff like that, come
yes,
to
sir.
The shows.
Yes, sir.
And yeah, I was told that I'm the first live show. So that means a lot, man. You know, I love to hear that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Everybody, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Your boy Rico No Suave, Smart Girl 11-14. Thank you so much for tuning in. Donna Marie Bird's checking in as well, too. Thank you so much, Donna Marie Bird, and everybody else checking in. Hey, yeah. I want to thank you guys. Please ask questions if you haven't, because B. Cole is ready. Don't get too personal. That's all I got to say. Don't get too personal.
B. Cole, ain't getting nothing. I ain't answering nothing, none of that.
Right, exactly. Vico, you have you met a lot of people mm-hmm. along your way, and you kind of talked about you know, your niche in regards to how Vico rocks the stage, but also the people that you've actually met along the way. Bernie Mac, the mm-hmm. people as far as the gladiators, as far as within Chicago.
Yeah.
Now, you've also met some really great comedians outside of Chicago as well, too. Can you walk us through and regards to who you met as well through your journey, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, the most proud moment I'm going to say is when I met Richard Pryor.
All right.
Yeah, I performed in L.A. I think it was about 1992, 93, short, like early in my career.
Okay.
And I know I was in L.A. for something. I think I was filming Comic View, another season or something. And okay. I did the Comedy Store.
Okay.
And Guy Tori had this night there called Fat Tuesdays.
Yeah.
He actually did a documentary on it. Okay. And I'm not in a documentary, but
it's okay.
But I had the opportunity to perform on that show, which is cool.
Okay.
And when I performed, Joe Torre, Guy's brother, came and got me backstage, said, "Hey, Richard Pryor wanna see you."
No way.
And he walked me to the Richard's table, and I sat down, talked to Richard, man, and Richard's like, "Man, you very funny.
Let's
you know,
go.
Keep it going," yeah. and stuff like that. But he gave me the whole salute. And
wow.
I'm like, man, getting that from Richard Pryor,
wow.
the godfather.
Yes, sir.
Comedy, you know, the man I was listening to when I was a kid, watching as a kid.
Uh-huh.
And for him to call me to his table just to give me my flowers right there, it was amazing. So, but outside of Richard, man, like I said, I haven't got the chance to meet Eddie Murphy. That's somebody I definitely want to meet.
Okay.
But I've met a lot of people. Like I toured with Rudy Ray Moore on his last tour.
Oh,
Dolemite.
Wow. Yeah. Dolemite.
Yeah, we toured, man. He was still doing the Chitlin Circuit.
Like, was
yeah,
he?
So we was on the Chitlin Circuit all down south the whole night and everything. He did that to the day he passed, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but they loved him. They came out for him, man, stuff like that. So we did that tour and
Rudy Ray.
Yeah, and, wow. Like I said, and but a lot of comedians who are big now,
yep.
They came behind me because, like I said, when I was done Comic View in 1992
yep.
and 93, because once I did Comic View, they kept asking me to come back every year. So a
That's
lot
good.
Of the comedians who I you see now and big, their first time meeting me was, you know, they saw me on television.
Okay.
So, like, you know, from Cat Williams to
yeah.
Kevin Hart,
yeah.
you know, it was always like, "Hey, B. Cole, my name is such and such, man. I'm a fan," and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, cool. That's how I met Cat Williams. You know, saying a lot of guys, man. But it's a lot to name. Anybody in the business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I figured that because, you know, when you guys are comedians, man, you guys are there to rock the stage. And when you're making people laugh, mm-hmm. you're saving lives, man.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
For real, like a lot of people that go to the comedy clubs as well as, you know, some of the I call them concerts, man. You guys are in concert.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are rocking the stage just like that. And I think, you know, because people come into clubs or come into an event wanting to laugh.
Right. They have a lot to get off their chest, man, or just a lot of stress to relieve.
Yes, sir.
I knew my purpose for this was real when I had a show in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And there was a guy came to me before the show. And he's like, "Be cold, man. Man, love you, man. Like, man, you made me get off crack." I'm like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, man, I used to do crack, man." And he's like, "And like your poem." He's like, "Because I did a poem, I'm in love with a crackhead on BET." So the poem you're talking about, that was the other poem. But other poem was "I'm in love with a crackhead."
Yeah.
And I didn't know how impactful that was to, even if it's just to that one person.
Sure.
He did let me know. He's like, he lost his mom. His mom passed, but he was still, you know, an addict when his mom passed, but his mom just begged him to stop doing crack, you know, yeah. get off the drugs.
Sure.
So he wasn't able to do that when she passed, but one night he was watching Comic View and he saw me do that poem and he broke out in tears. Because he heard his mom, when he said, "I'm in love with a crackhead," he just thought of his mom.
Sure.
And he broke out in tears. He said, that's the moment he stopped doing crack.
Blessings.
And on that same show, that night, he proposed to his girl on stage.
Let's go.
And he got engaged that night.
Let's go, man. Let's go.
Yeah, I was like, wow. So it's like, it's a purpose, man.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's like God put you here for a purpose.
Yes, sir.
Even if it's just for that person. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I did that. I was happy for that, you know.
Yeah. Man.
I'm in love with a crackhead.
I'm in love with a crackhead. Dude, that's it. Before we take a quick commercial break, everybody, hope you guys are actually enjoying yourself. Donald Rebirth says, "Comedy laughter, the only medicine with good side effects." I love that. Yes. I love that. Thank you. Chicagoans love Chicago. Mr. Yes. Cole, what do you like best about Chicago?
Man, I love, I'll never leave it. Okay. I love it. I just like, this is what I know.
Yep.
It's all my life, man. But, you know, of course, summertime shy, of course,
it's
the best. It's, you know, we get these nice 3 months.
Yes.
But I love the winters are brutal. But nothing can take me away from Chicago, because they was trying to get me to come out to L.A. and live and all that. I was like, man, it's too much pressure out there. Everybody out there want to weigh 80 pounds and less. So I'm like, nah, man, I got to eat. Like, y'all not eating, because they don't want to eat. They don't want to gain, you know, because cameras put weight on y'all already.
Sir,
everybody trying to be slim and keep abs and stuff. I'm like, man, I was obese out there, my size. Like, so it was crazy, man. You like, what you have for dinner? Gum? What do you mean gum? It was double, man. I'm full. Like, man, come on, dog. You got to eat.
He said double, man.
Yeah. So it's like, there's a lot of pressure out there, man. So I was like, hey, let me get back to Chicago around my regular body people.
Yes, sir. You know what I'm saying? Give me some of this Harold's chicken.
Yeah. It's like, so that's what I always wanted to do.
I love
is just
that.
Stay home in Chicago, because Chicago is just where I've been my whole life.
Yes, sir.
Know?
Yes, sir.
And a lot of my friends, they left, and they, you know, comedian friends, they left. They've been out of Chicago for many years, living out there in Los Angeles and
awesome.
New York and down in Georgia and stuff like that.
We everywhere.
But they like, "B, man, when you gonna get out of Chicago?" I was like, "I don't know, man. I love it."
Right. I'm in love with Chicago. Everybody, we got to take a quick commercial break. You already know your boy Rico No Suave, my man, B. Cole, comedian and producer. Of course, we're going to talk about the film work. And, man, hey, all I got to say is after this commercial break, we got a few videos to show you of his talent as well, too. And also part one of I'm in Love with a Crackhead. We'll see you back soon. Let's go.
Every year, 800,000 children are reported missing. That's one child every 40 seconds. It's every parent's worst nightmare. Right now, there are 483 missing children cases still open. Your card donation can help keep kids safe and bring missing kids home. Donate your unwanted card today. Fast, free pickup, 24-hour response. Plus, you'll get the maximum tax deduction.
Call 800-723-2013.
From a hard day's work, I come home. Turn on my lights, all my shit is gone. I'm in love with a crackhead. Every night she's smoking a pipe, hate to admit that she's a hype. I gotta sleep with my clothes on, with my shoes tied tight, 'cause she can steal. I'm in love with a crackhead. I thought I had a winner, but man, she's just a sinner. I can't watch TV 'cause she's smoking the antenna. I'm in love with a crackhead. But I ain't mad and I ain't got no beef, 'cause I remember the good old days when she used to have teeth. But I gotta take her to the rehab, this I know I should, 'cause she walking through the hood still thinking she look good. but she's a disaster. She's a mess. I got more hair on my chest than she got on her head, but she'll end up dead. But to her, I said, I won't let her. I'll make it no better. Baby, you and I, we can walk through this together. So it ain't no reason to hotwire that Volkswagen Jetta. We can walk. See, my mama don't like it. My mama, she into that voodoo. And mama gonna put a hex on her ass for smoking mama's pet poodle. Cause everything she see white, she think it's crack. That's why I be wondering about the milk cartons with the missing white kids on the back. I'm in love with a crackhead.
Don't be trying to throw no party when we get up out of here.
Whoa, your parents gone this weekend?
Yeah, I'm just gonna have a get together, man. You know, a few females, a few fellas, that's it.
If you're throwing a house party,
D's house, right now.
Let me get that.
Don't answer the door. Let's all go, no solo. See you. Don't drink the punch.
What's up in here, Marty Mills?
And whatever you do, don't.
Ride out. Go find your woman.
Give up.
Look, don't run. Don't run.
The booty. B. Cole. Tiffany Curtis.
Hey.
Michael Collier. Tony Roberts. A get together.
Job, dude.
Yeah, man, love, man. I appreciate that, man. Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's one of my babies there. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
The get together. I had a good time doing that one. That was fun.
That was fun. Yeah, that looked fun, dude. Yeah, that looked fun. So we of course we're at the 30-minute mark already, and you know, we have to talk about the other side of B. Cole from the comedian into filmmaking and producing now.
Yes.
Right? Because Now I'm in Love with the Crackhead is one of the most iconic films ever. And to be able to have that and to be able to walk into y'all's, I won't even talk about the whole thing, but everybody, you guys got to see it. You have to see it. And so let's talk about how you developed that one, and then let's also talk about the get together.
Okay. Well, of course, I'm in Love with the Crackhead became famous from the poem on Comic View.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the whole idea of like, man, all right, I want to do a movie, so might as well just capitalize on it and make it as a film, you know?
Yeah.
And we didn't have money to do it, man. I just gathered my buddies up, my friends, like, yo, let's do this movie.
Yeah.
And a guy I went to high school with, I went to Julian High School, man.
Okay.
Jaguars, you
let's
know?
Let's go, let's go.
So a friend of mine named Clarence Simmons, but he go by Cootie.
Okay.
Cootie Simmons.
Okay.
So we came out, he came out a year before me, but we were tight. And Cootie always carried a camera around. He had the first Canon XL and the HD camera. So I was like, man, let's do something with this, man. So he's like, let's do I'm in Love with a Crackhead movie. So, man, I think I spent $1,000 on this
let's
movie.
Let's go.
And I gathered up all the friends. So, like, of course, Dion Cole, Ray Lepowski, Marlon Mitchell.
Nice.
Man, the list goes on. My man Tree, who goes by the name Timon Durrett, he's okay. Doing big things. He's on that new black soap opera that's on called Beyond the Gates. He's
okay.
On there now.
Okay.
But this was all our first movies, though. You know,
okay.
Even Lil Rel. Everybody know Lil Rel Howery right
uh-huh.
now. That
uh-huh.
was his very first movie. You
okay.
know? So we had fun just filming it, man. It was just an experiment project. Like, we just wanted to do something.
Sure,
you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like, let's do this movie. We had a camera. And we did a screening for it, man. But it's going down as a cult classic, though.
Man.
It's a short. It's like 35 minutes long, but it's a cult classic, man. Something just, you know, some great pastime.
It's definitely a classic, dude. Mm-hmm. And once people see it, man, it's you can definitely tell it's back in the day.
It's shot on the south side of Chicago in the neighborhood, man.
What year?
We shot that in 99.
Yeah.
1999.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Right before the new millennium.
Yes, man. Sir. And then you can definitely tell because Those are the good days, though, man. Yeah. And it's crazy how I'm actually saying this because I'm so used to hearing my parents say, "Oh, well, back in my day was the good days," you know. Now yeah, I'm saying man. It, and I'm yeah, like,
"We said it,
man. We said
I'm
it."
I'm so glad we didn't grow up with social media and cell phones, man. Something to follow you to this day.
Come on,
man.
Hey, I was talking to my sister about the brick phones, Prime Co. The big old brick phones, and I'm showing my age, of course, but
that was high tech back then.
That was high tech. Let me get some minutes on that. Yeah, $50. I only got $50. I just got paid. Let me get $50 on that, right? So I was super happy to have a big brick Prime Co. with my. But that brought me back as well too. And then to be able to get that going and being able, I'm sure you got a lot of great feedback in regards to "I'm in Love with a Crackhead" based off of your poem, right?
Right.
Did anyone else try to come in to be able to have you either direct or produce other movies or other films as well too, once they saw how well you did with that one?
Well, it was other independent film writers and producers, and they did, but I was so focused on what I was producing, I wanted to do. So I know I'm confident on doing my own work.
Sure.
And my, if I write it, I know how I want it. I got the vision for it, because sometimes you gotta, if you work for someone else, you gotta capture their vision.
Correct.
I'm do well with my own vision. So doing "I'm in Love with a Crackhead," with the popularity of that, it allowed me to receive some real money to do a get together.
I see.
So I had someone come to me and say, "Hey man, can you do another one of those?" So I said, "Yeah, but I need some money." They're like, "Don't worry about the money, we got you."
Yes, so
I did a feature film called "A Get Together."
Yeah.
And man, that was my sophomore film right there.
That's cool.
I really had fun on that, man. And everybody's in it. Like Tony Roberts. Put it like this. Tony Roberts was the comic relief. I played the straight man in the movie.
Okay.
But what Chris Tucker did for Friday is the exact same thing Tony Roberts did for my movie, A Get Together.
Oh, that's cool.
Man, he was phenomenal.
And
all comedy fans out there know Tony Roberts.
Yeah.
Very funny guy. High energetic guy, man. Stuff like that. But he's done a great job. But like I said, all my comedy friends who we've done, I'm in Love with a Crackhead, we moved and did to another movie, A Get Together. And that's what I always wanted to do. I always wanted to have, cause like Keenan Ivory Wayans and Robert Townsend were I was a student of them. So I studied them. I saw how they operated in the film business.
Yeah.
And if you look at their films, they've always had the same guys. They team, and they always did movie after movie and stuff. Like Hollywood Shuffle to "I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker." I said, that's what I want to do. So I had my crew, man. We was just moving.
Very good.
Yeah, it was moving. And that was Kid Capri's very first movie. DJ Kid Capri. Big ups, Kid. That's my buddy right there, man. Kid, he called me years later after we'd done the movie, A Get Together, and he's like, and he brought it to my knowledge. I didn't even know. He's like, "B, you're the only comedian that ever asked me to be in a movie."
Wow.
He said, "I worked with everybody." Like, of course, he was the DJ on Def Jam. He worked with everybody. He said, "None of them dudes asked me to be in the movie." He said, "But you did, man." He said, "Man, I'm forever grateful." I was like, "Wow." And I didn't realize until he told me that over the phone. I was like, "Wow, Kid, that means a lot to me, man."
Yes, sir.
And I've done it because, like I said, I ran into Kid Capri, but I already had him in mind because I was like, "Man, I want to." Because the movie is a house party movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, "Man, perfect DJ would be Kid Capri. He's a DJ." And put him in the movie. That was the first person I thought of.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome, man. Congratulations on that. Man. Big shout out to Kid Capri as well, too.
Buddy, man.
That's love, man. That's love. There's another thing, of course, time is not always on our side, man, because it's always going fast, man.
So fast, dude. I could be at home watching an episode of a series take forever to go off. I'm like, "Man, what? Still on." And here we are. We about to wrap up right now. It's a shame, man.
So we got to talk about, we got a few things to talk about as well, too, before we take this this break, because I want them to see more of your talent.
Okay.
Shy Fly.
Yes.
Entertainment, but you also have Shy Fly. We also have a picture, Shy Fly, that's kind of like a logo.
Yes.
Right? It's like the entertainment, but it also says Comedy Club as well, too. So if we can put that up as well. And just a little bit about how you came up with that, because you also on your profile picture that we put up for you, you also have the shirt, which is called Shy Fly. Be Cold. So if you could talk a little bit about that.
Well, Shy Fly was just a term that I know it was, I heard it a lot on the south side of Chicago. Everybody just, you know, it was just a term, Shy Fly, stuff like that. So, you know, it became this whole lingo, slang a little bit now. And then it kind of, I think it was like a trend because you don't hear it much anymore.
Yeah.
But I've taken it and, you know, just took it in like, look, I'm going to go ahead and make this my business. I'm going to go ahead and coin this right here and patent it. And it's like Shy Fly Entertainment. And Shy Fly in my book stand for Chicago greatness, you know.
Okay.
Because the slang for fly is like, right, man, you fly, bro. You're great. So it's like Chicago greatness. Now, yes, I came up with that.
Okay,
you know?
Okay.
Because so, everybody asked me, what's Shy Fly? I'm like, Chicago greatness, man, you know. So, with Shy Fly Entertainment, I've been operating for some years. Done my first movie under Shy Fly Entertainment, Heaven on 7.
Okay.
And that was my first directing debut.
Yeah.
So I was
now we have that Heaven on 7, which is actually Damon Williams.
Yeah, yeah. Starred
so
in
we
it.
Have that yeah. on yeah, we yeah, have that yeah. one. Yeah.
We have Terry J. Vaughn as well, from the Steve Harvey Show.
Yes,
and
sir.
Stuff like that. And yes, Rodney Perry. You know,
okay.
Rodney Perry, he's another Chicago comedian. He's from Chicago.
Okay.
And Rodney Perry went off and done great things. He was you know, if you remember Bill Bellamy, Who's Got Jokes?
Yes, sir.
He was the Bill Bellamy side guy, and also with the Monique Show. With Monique, he was like the Ed McMahon to Johnny Carson. That's how he was with Monique
The Monique Show.
So Rodney, very funny guy, man. Rodney is my big brother because I've known him since I was a kid. We was on the same Little League baseball team together.
Okay, okay.
Played for the White Sox, Roseland Little League. You know, me and him, and man, like I said, just to see him go off and do stand-up comedy, and because like I said, I haven't seen him in years because he left Chicago. And when me and Rodney ran into each other again, we're both comedians. Like, man, you're a comedian too? Yeah, I'm a comedian, man. So, yeah, so that was good to see that.
Man. That's cool, that's my man. Buddy. That's awesome, yeah. man. We also have, before we take another quick commercial break, so you have, and thanks for sending me this as well, too, because, you know, since we're on a talk show,
yeah.
you actually have something that's called Scary AF
yes.
podcast as well, too. So yeah. if you could talk a little bit about that.
Well, man, Scary AF is a podcast where I do interviews with comedians
yes.
and we just discuss scary movies.
Okay.
So Scary AF, you would think it stand for scary as, you know, uh-huh. F, but it means scary and funny.
Okay.
Yeah. So by being scary and funny, we just talk about old classic films, man, because everybody always got that memory of them watching a scary movie and how sure. they felt that moment.
Sure.
So for you to be able to sit there and reflect on that and talk about it, yeah. man. Oh man, it's just you get some funny stories, especially from comedians.
Oh yeah,
stuff like that. But yeah, Scary AF. It's a YouTube channel, man. Go to YouTube channel Scary AF and catch a few episodes on it as well.
Okay.
And it's about to be on New TV, the new streaming app, New TV.
So. Big shout out to Sal.
Yeah,
big shout out
to Sal. That's my
yes,
buddy,
sir.
Man.
Yes,
new
sir.
TV.
I love that, man. Mm-hmm. Well, we're gonna get right into, you know, your talent again, right? Because I want them to see more of B. Cole, right? I said, you know, when our commercial break happens, we're only going to do that one time, but we're going to actually show a little bit more about what B. Cole is about. Everybody, I want you guys to enjoy yourselves. Take a listen and watch.
Damn, man, get up off me.
Yeah, how's that view up there?
Don't worry about the view. You just almost got shanked by this butter knife.
Can you tell me what the hell you was doing up there?
Hustling.
Yeah, but I call that illegal.
So what you going to do? Call the cops?
Well, maybe I won't, under one condition.
Nah, see, my knees, they hurt, and my jaws, they be kind of acting funny.
Dinner, my treat.
Dinner? Mm, I knew that.
All right, now my name's Terrence, and you are?
Anna May. All day.
Man, when I met Anna May, I thought she was the most beautiful girl in the world. Now, they say there's a woman on earth for every man. And I thought Anna Mae was the one for me. Until one day, she stole my heart, along with everything else.
There's a time when you need... Damn!
Info Man, are you open?
Oh, yeah, baby. Come on up in here. Let me make room for you. Man, get your foot off my furniture. How come your people ain't got nothing now? You're always tearing up some
shit. Okay. All right. Okay.
What can I do for you, young fella?
I'm looking for my girlfriend. Her name is Anime. You've probably seen her walking with a TV, a couch, VCR.
Yeah, that Anime. I know Anime. Little old dog skin girl with the ponytail coming out the back, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's her. That's who I'm talking about.
That was a freebie. Rest of them gonna cost you. I seen her today, in fact.
All right.
What you want, a one-word answer? Give me some money, fella.
Okay.
There you go.
Where? With who?
Yeah, she was sitting out there in the black Monte Carlo with a Mexican fella.
Mexican? Where? What? Which way? Headed where? Talk to me. Come on, info.
Oh, come on with it, then. Come on with it. Come on with it. Come on with it, baby. Don't be cheap on me now. Look at here. They got in the black Monte Carlo about 2.5 hours ago. And they got on that Interstate 80, and they was headed towards East Chicago about 2.5 hours ago now.
All right, now let me get this straight. All right, cool. Mexican, East Chicago, and a black Monte Carlo. Correct?
That's a question, ain't it? That's correct, the mundo.
All right, thanks a lot, Info Man. I really appreciate
it. Good luck, young
fella.
All right,
thank you.
See you later. Go on out of here now. Nothing from nothing, leave nothing. Gotta have something if you want to talk to me.
I miss old school. I miss a lot about the old school. I miss a lot of our great artists and everything, man. You know what I'm saying? We lost Prince. Give it up for Prince. Don't y'all miss Prince? Man, I miss some Prince, man. I never thought I'd say Prince dead. You know, and ladies, y'all love Prince. Y'all didn't care what he wore. That man wore heels, flowers, and eyeliner. And he more macho than every man up in here. But only Prince can do that, though, can't he? Regular dude can't come to your house pick you up in a Prince outfit, can you, lady? He come pick you up for this show, you wouldn't even be here right now. Soon as you walk through your door, you stick your dog on him. Stick him, get him, pepper, stick him. Stick him, pepper, stick him. Now he running down the street from a poodle named Pepper. Get him, Pepper! He in heels, thighs, and the eyeliner. Come on, get your dog. Get your dog. He on my heels. Why y'all playing, man? That little workout hurt. I done burned my leg, man. That's why Prince dead. It's his hurt. Yeah, he doing that. I did that for 30 seconds. Prince did it for 30 years. If y'all want a good workout, ladies, do that around the house. Just clean up for 30 minutes. Get your dog. Just clean up. With music playing in the house. I like that.
Come on, man. Come on. Come on, man. It, you know, I have to say.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
And I was just telling you that, yeah, I hung out with Prince, man. That was a good bit. That was a dear friend of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was cool, man. Rest in peace to Prince, man. We hung out. Actually, I performed with him at the Metro in Wrigley at one of his after party, after sets.
Yeah.
When he did the Riviera. Mm-hmm. And his after set was at the Metro, and yeah. Common was there.
Yeah.
Macy Gray was there. Because Common and Macy Gray had another show, but we all met at the after party.
Okay.
And the after party ain't nothing but another mini concert. It's just a jam session,
come
man.
On,
big
man.
Crowd. And I perform I'm in Love with a Crackhead. Prince told me to get on the mic.
Let's go.
And do I'm in Love with a Crackhead. And he played the guitar beside me, man. No phones, no cameras, nothing captured, you know. But what I do have is the playlist of that night from the on the website of the Metro.
Okay.
You go to that date,
yep.
They have the playlist, all the songs that we played that night that was jamming, Raspberry Beret, Red Little Red Corvette,
yeah.
All that. I'm in love with a crackhead.
Oh, I got to find
that. Yeah, no, I got it. I'm going to send it to
send
you.
It to
it's
me.
It's a screenshot.
Oh, let's
but
go.
It's I'm in love with a crackhead on the playlist
come
with all
on.
Them songs, man. I'm like, wow.
Come on.
Yeah.
Let's go, man. Congratulations on that, man. Oh my God. And these are the things that makes me be a proud Chicagoan, man, but also knowing I have my iconic brother here, B. Cole, man. Yes. Hope you guys are enjoying yourselves, everybody. Yes, and Donna Reverse says, yes, she loves Prince. Yes, hope you guys enjoyed that stand-up clip, man. That was super awesome, man. That was super awesome. Wow. All right, so we got to get to what we call flashback photo. Flashback photo is bringing you back to the younger days. That's B. Cole, everybody. That's B. Cole in the younger days. That was him coming up. And B. Cole, I would say, you know, that I love to tell my guests on the show, when you see an earlier version of yourself and you see how young you were back then, if you had a chance to whisper in your own ear,
yes,
what would you tell your younger self as he starts his journey?
I tell him, that guy right there, I say, get some veneers and you'll be good. My whole front's out right there. But
you,
man,
be all right.
But yeah, but I'll tell him, I was like, man, just keep believing in yourself. Don't dim your light for no one.
Yes,
you
sir.
Know what I'm saying? Because you can fall into the habit of that.
Yep.
Because you can become big in your circle.
Yes, sir.
But people in your circle is uncomfortable with your shine. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And you either gonna keep shining and they gotta level up, or but you'll make the bad decision to dim your light so to make them feel comfortable.
Come on.
So that's how I was. Cause out of everyone, I was the first one to go to BET and do Comic View.
All
so
right.
I was the first one out of our whole circle of comedians to do television.
Okay.
And stuff like that. So when I came back, it was kind of like some, you know, it just felt, I don't know if I felt guilty from that success I had going to do TV first and stuff and all that, because my life did change overnight.
Okay.
Doing that comedy, because that's all we had. There was no internet. It was none of that. It was just one TV in the house, and family went to go watch the program Comic View. So family used to sit around the TV. So it made me a household name and stuff like that. So it changed me overnight. But like I said, you know, when you come back. And I think a lot of people experience this. You just start seeing people around you change because they think you're different.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not different. I'm the same. You guys are the one changing.
Yeah.
So I had to just, you know, kind of, you know, just, you know, humble purposely.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So you want
to make them feel comfortable. And that kind of messed me up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know.
I get that. Yeah. I get that. You know why I get that? Because it happens in the media now. Right? But it's just, you know, back then it had to be face to face.
Yeah.
Or over the phone. You hear it differently, right?
Yeah.
But now it's social media where people can kind of hide and hate on you in regards to your success and how fast now you can blow up. But even though during that time when you were able to get on, to be on TV back then was a very big thing.
It was huge, man.
It was
something that I don't even think I was ready for. You know, because like I said, 19 I started, 20 I was invited to do Comic View.
That's
my
crazy.
First time out of Chicago.
Yeah.
My first time on the plane. My first time in California.
Yeah.
My first time on TV. All first time experience.
Come on.
So therefore, it was real different for me. So when I came back to the hundreds.
Yep.
Wow. You know. Man, who you think you was?
Hating hard.
No, I didn't see you last night, but you was good. I didn't watch it, but I laughed. You know, so it's like
the inner spirits,
right? So it was different, man. But yeah, that's what
funny.
I would tell my young self, like, man, just man, shine on.
Yes, sir.
They'll get their sunglasses. They'll be good. They'll be all right. But just do you.
I like that, man.
Yeah,
I like
you got
that.
To, man.
Everybody, B. Cole, let's go. Yeah. Hey, B. Cole, man. Yeah. Projects that you have coming up. And you also have, you're doing something at the comedy club.
Yes, Shyfly Comedy Club in Cabo Comedy Venue out in Oak Forest, Illinois. We've been open for a year now.
Okay.
And I do an event called the B. Cole Standing Ovation Award.
Okay.
And I always give out an award to, like, you know, legends in the game who put a lot of work in, people who I admire. The very first one I've given out is to Diane Carter. She's the mother of Chicago comedy. Yeah, she's the main host at the Comedy Click. Remember the Click when it was open?
Yeah, the Click, yes, sir.
Yeah, and the Comedy Club was downstairs at the club. So she was the host. She was the one who actually snuck me in the club at 19 because I wasn't old enough to be in there, but she allowed me to get on stage.
Let's go.
And the night she did it, one of the nights she did it, let me on. Comic View was in the audience. So that's how that happened, that connection. So I'm forever grateful to her, man, for even just giving me that opportunity. But she received the very first award. I couldn't do it. I wouldn't do it unless she got the first award. She was the very first recipient. Then I've done my man Reginald Ballard, who plays Bruhman on Martin.
Yes. So we have have some photos of Bruhman on the fifth floor.
Yeah.
Right. And with Cole.
Yeah.
Cole. It's called Standing Ovation.
Yep. Standing Ovation. Then him and Cole. Then I've done Joe Torre. Then I've done Chicago legend Evan Lionel. Yep. Yeah, I've done. Yeah. So the next one is August 16th coming up.
Okay.
With Omar Gooden.
Okay.
Yeah, from Baby Boy.
Yes, Cuba, sir.
Cuba's little brother.
Yes, sir.
So I have him coming up. Then I'm doing Lamar Tate.
Okay.
Coming up in October. Okay. Lisa E. from Chicago. Lisa E., big time, you know, known radio producer. She worked with Doug Banks, all, you know, Gene Sparrow right now. She's producing Gene Sparrow show. But she's been around as long as I've been doing comedy.
Okay.
Since the 90s, man. So she's been a big staple in Chicago entertainment as well, especially media. So we're doing a Stand Ovation Award for her late September. I think it's September 29th, I believe.
But
double check that.
Good for you, man. Man, you deserve it, man. That's all I can tell you. You deserve it. And everything that you've been doing is always a shining light along that way. Yes. When you first got on stage or, you know, on TV and on stage itself, that was that light that was starting to shine, man. And ever since then, you've just been hooking it up, man.
Yes.
Hooking up with great people along the way. So, man, blessings to you like always, man. But I got something for you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, but I do want to let people know where they can catch me every week. Every Monday, I'm at the Renaissance in Bronzeville.
Okay.
It's called Laughs in the City in Bronzeville. It's the old Jokes and Notes. So if you remember Jokes and Notes, the most iconic black comedy club, after All Jokes Aside, we had Jokes and Notes right there in Bronzeville. Mary Lindsay was the owner. She ran the club perfect, man.
Let's go.
She produced a lot of great comedians come out of there. But Jokes and Notes been closed for a while. So I just started doing comedy there. And they didn't really change up the club. It's still the same.
The same structure.
It's the same structure, everything, man. So every Monday we're there, 8:00. Come on through, no cover charge. Just come in. It's a 2-drink minimum.
Wow.
And just come enjoy. We have great comedians, man. And yeah, we just did our 18th week this past Monday.
Congrats.
So 18 weeks straight, man. So I just want to keep it going.
Yes, sir. Because
comedy is slow in the summertime.
Okay.
But we still been surviving through every week because a lot of people like to be outside.
Yeah.
You know, because they know winter is coming.
Yes, sir.
So they want to get a lot of that outdoor right now.
Have you ever thought about doing, and I'm sure you've probably done some of them, have you ever done like rooftop comedy events?
Oh, yeah.
As well, too, as far as for the summer?
Yeah, yeah.
In Chicago?
Chicago, out of town, a lot of out of town rooftops, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, Chicago, I've done a lot of rooftop shows, but I can't really recall where, though.
Yeah.
I just know I was outside on the roof somewhere.
Yeah,
it was beautiful. I was somewhere, but yeah, I've done so many shows, I can't tell you where and when and what
I
was.
Just saw Lake Michigan.
Yeah,
right?
I know I was outside.
Well, I got something for you to wear outside in the summertime. I got a surprise.
Oh, you going
to
get me out this hot jacket?
Yeah, I got a surprise for you.
What?
Yeah, I got a surprise for you. Great throw, my
producer. Oh, man. Yeah. That's love, bro.
So this shirt right here, we call it the Rico No Suave
show.
I'm
going to wear that to my next show.
Let's go, man.
And you know what's so crazy? Because you and I, we were talking about the Kango hats.
Yes, sir.
And I got, you was asking me, do I have them all colors?
Yep.
I got brown.
Come on, man.
I'm going to wear my brown
on. Hey,
that's going to be sweet.
Here's the reason why I give this shirt to you. Not only because I'm a fan, but I'm also, you know, a good friend of yours in the past of doing a Super Bowl party with Todd Switch.
Yes, Todd. Yeah, man, Todd Switch. Man, Todd. Me and Todd used to live in the same building, man, right there, Kingsbury Plaza back in the day. Yeah, man. Attached man. To the East Bank Club.
Yes, sir.
That was my buddy. He was my neighbor. Cool guy, man. Todd was really cool.
But this shirt we call the Gems of the World. We give this shirt to all of the gems of the world because you shine. Now, of course, you've been shining for since the year of 19 years of age. Now, of course, we're around the same age, right? And one of the things is that you've been shining and you have also been that doctor of comedy. Oh, wow. Right? Yeah, yeah. You saved a crackhead.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
I know you were in love with one, but you saved one. And there's another crackhead that was had somebody that loved them that wanted them to stop, and you showed that love.
Absolutely.
You had people that actually come to you at the same time and say, hey, this was my first time coming to a comedy show. Mm-hmm. Thank you for making me an addict of comedy.
Yeah.
Right? Absolutely. And I really love that about you, man. And also Comic View and the people that you surround yourself with and knowing who's there with you and who's not. So I want to say welcome to the Rico No Suave Show family, bro. This is all you.
This is sir. Great.
Let's go.
I'm wearing this. It's not even mustard. It's fresh. You know, last show I was on, they gave me a musty. He took it off and gave me it. It was musty. He stank. But this is beautiful. Thank you, Rico.
Yeah, don't sneak it around here.
I'm wearing this, brother. I'm wearing it to my next show. Trust me. So follow me on my social media and you'll see me in the Rico Suave, No Suave shirt.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, my boy. Hey, everybody, we got to get out of here, but you already know that is B. Cole, your boy Rico No Suave. We got to put up his social media so you guys can actually follow him. You know, and there's two important ones, of course, that we're going to put up, which is B. Cole Comedian on Facebook. Make sure you go ahead and follow him and message him and say, I saw you on the Rico No Suave show. So make sure you go ahead and show him some love and follow him at his comedy shows as well, too, everybody. Yes, sir.
And I'm sorry. No, and the B. Cole Comedian for my Facebook, that's my fan page. I'm really on there. I'm on the page with my actual government name, Brandel Cole. So if you
Brandel
yeah,
Cole.
Brandel Cole, like Randall with a B.
Okay.
B-R-A-N-D-A-L-L Cole. And you just look that up. I interact with you personally there, but B. Cole Comedian, that's my fan page.
Awesome.
You know, stuff like that. But Brandel Cole, I'm on that. I'm more active on that one.
You know, the reason why, you know, because you're that guy, right? And, you know, when people see the show, I don't want them just coming up there and just be spamming.
But if they want you,
Brandel Cole, since you put it out there.
Yeah, Brandel Cole. Man.
I got to tell them, hey, don't be spamming them. Just say, I saw you on the Rico No Suave show. That's his personal one, right? So don't try to get too personal, right? So make sure you show him some love as well. And here's the next one. You already know Instagram. We do it all the time. Yes. We accept collaborations around here, everybody. It's B. Cole Comedian. Make sure you go and follow him. Blow him up as well, too, everybody. Make sure you go ahead and show that love. B. Cole, man, thank you so much for being on the show,
Rico,
my man.
Brother, I'm so happy you brought me here, man. Thank you so much.
Anytime,
it was a lot of red tape to get here. I know I was frustrating you, man, but, you know, I'm here now, brother. I'm here, brother. I'm good.
You're here. You hear it now, everybody. You're here. B. Cole. He knows who
to get out, man. But, hey. I'm here.
I took care of him. Hey, that's why he's here. Everybody, put your hands together for none other than B. Cole. Yeah. Everybody, we got to get out of here. Your boy, Rico No Suave. We got to show you our social media so you can make sure you follow us as well, too. And we hope that you guys had a great time as well, too. It's the www.RicoNoSuaveShow.com. Make sure you guys go ahead and follow us there. You'll see all of our highlight reels, red carpets, and also the archives of this video as well, too. Here's the next one. Let's go. Ba-boom. It is Facebook. Yes, Rico No Suave Show. Go ahead and like and love. Yeah, we'll send you messages back, but make sure you go ahead and follow us there. Here's the next one. It is Instagram. Right, Instagram, everybody. Make sure you guys check us out there. Follow us. Love us there. We'll love you back like always. Here's the next one. You always got to subscribe. There's no way around it. You got to subscribe to the YouTube channel, Rico No Suave Show. Let's just click on subscribe, get notified, and there's the next guest. You know what I mean? So make sure you guys go ahead and do that. And here's the last one. Mixcloud.com turns into a podcast. So it actually turns to the audio. So you can hear me and my man, B. Cole, chopping it up. You know, we just talking. You know, we having a great time. So make sure you go to Mixcloud.com. Rico No Suave show. Everybody, we got to get out of here. We thank you guys so much for actually being here on the show with us. I had a great time. And hopefully you guys had a great time too. And I'll see you next time as we end off the show. Just like this.